Everybody's ears just pricked up. When I read that, I was like, wow.
Because we can. No two ways about it. I've been doing it for 10 years.
That is sensational.
Hundreds of different people.
So you're not actually going down the normal route. You're an independent.
Yes. What happened is that how I got interested and followed this course is that I came from horrendous child abuse and was starting having major flashbacks and all sorts of things, and knocked on 15 psychiatrists and government organisations, and they said, sorry, we can't help you. So my boys had, in the teenagers, I was widowed and raised them on my own, and I always wanted to go to uni, so I said, I'm going to go to uni and find my own cure. So basically I did that. It took me 9 years.
Wow, congratulations.
And yes, thank you. It was hard work.
Good for you, Beverly.
You've got dysphasia, which is just one stop short of dyslexia.
Right.
So everything I wrote had to go before somebody who could rewrite it for me. So it was very hard. But I do not let anything stop me.
No, you don't.
No way.
So tell me, how did you come out? What have you got now?
I've developed a process. It's called Your Envisioned Mind. And it's a 9-step formula, and we're working with the limbic system. See, most of the therapy out there now is all talking. Cognitive behaviour therapy, all those ones, the narrative therapy. You're talking, you know, the traditional is you go to a psychologist, psychiatrist, and you sit and talk about your woes.
Yes.
And they give you some advice. This doesn't work when you have some form of adversity trauma.
Okay.
Because do you understand the flight-fight mechanism in the brain? I'm getting technical now.
No. Well, enlighten me. Maybe I do.
Yes. Now, when something dangerous, your brain is geared for survival. If something scary or horrible happens to you, like I give the example of your big brother drops a hairy spider on you and you run around screaming and you're about 3 years old, that whole scenario of you, the spider dropping on you, running around screaming, because it's danger to you, activates the flight-fight mechanism in your brain and sends the whole picture of it into the limbic system. And the limbic system is your emotional seat of your brain.
Right.
So every time you then see a spider or something drops accidentally on you, it activates the flight-fight again and replays that whole event like a DVD in your limbic system, and all the negative emotions flood through.
Wow.
So you then can have panic attacks, have phobias, have obsessions about spiders. So can you imagine the car accident you had, being treated, told bullying at school, being told you're a useless no-hoper of a kid, you know, all the set-downs can happen.
Yeah.
They're all in the limbic system in the picture form.
Limbic system.
About it helps you understand what's going on, but it doesn't take the picture out.
Right.
My work, systematically, it's a formula. You do one step, and then the next step, and the next step. It's very gentle, very powerful, and you actually meet the part of you what had the spider dropped on you, and you heal them and take the pictures out of the limbic system, and all the negativity, the picture, the remembrance of it in the emotional state goes permanently.
Wow.
Yes, it's that's a wow.
That sounds incredible. Like, and how many, I mean, you're saying that you can hopefully help somebody within 10 sessions. How long do your sessions go?
No, within 10 hours of therapy. What I normally do, because it's a 9-step therapy, what I'm training my people to do, I do hour and a half sessions at a time. And what I do is I get the first 4 steps in the first session, and then we're starting to work in meeting and healing the subpersonalities or parts of you. And within the first session, you're feeling a difference.
Right. And you focus on the limbic system? That's the first time I've heard of the limbic system. I don't know.
Yes, it's the emotional seat of the brain.
Right.
It's where all your emotions are stored.
That kind of makes sense to me.
Yes, it's fascinating because the light bulb went off when I started reading that. What happened was Professor Van der Kolk, Harvard University, was treating Vietnam vets. And then the women came along and they diagnosed post-traumatic stress, and then the women came along and said, we've got these symptoms, and he says, you can't, you haven't been to war. And then he realized that post-traumatic stress, the beginnings of it was for all trauma, and then he had his clients voluntarily go under the PET scan, the imaging of the brain. It just came in, and in the 1990s, and he had them go into the under the scanning machine and have their flashbacks of the trauma, like the car accident, the rape, that type of thing, under in the machine, and they actually traced where the trauma went, and it was the first time they realised it went into the limbic system,
wow.
which doesn't have a language, and it doesn't have time. It doesn't have a clock.
That's incredible.
So you can have a fear of spiders at 3 and be 83 and still have the fear.
The same fear?
Yes.
Because you've been your limbic system's programmed it there.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And and people think, will I be able to do this work? Because we're working with visualizations, and I have people say to me, I can't visualize. And this is my little test. Can you imagine yourself down the beach with some cold chips, and you're throwing them down on the ground, and the seagulls come fighting and cawing over them? Can you imagine that? And most people say yes. I said, if you can do that, that is how simple and as easy as my work. That shows you can do this, and it'll take you gently in visualizations like that. There's no abreacting. I don't have crying. People don't get angry, and they don't, lose the plot around it, because what you're doing is making your mind safe and happy, and you're meeting and healing the parts of you, the sub-personalities who experience the adversity or trauma, and washing it away. I have a few little tears of, oh my God, we were so small when this happened. And to see, I was working with a woman yesterday who never had a mother. She died at birth, and she had a stepmother who didn't look after her properly. And she said she was lonely. That was the main thing she wanted to work on. So we set up the home in the head, the safe and happy place. And then you asked to meet the part of you who holds the loneliness. And it was a little 3-year-old part of her. And we put her in the healing and asked her, what was the best thing she would like? What gift would she like? Because she had things tough.
Mm-hmm.
She said she wanted a mummy. Well, the woman didn't have any role models for a mother, so it's heartbreaking when you don't have these role models in your life. And so she said, I will be this little girl's mother. And the little girl said yes. And the look of peace and joy that came over that woman's face, it changed, because she's no longer feeling lonely. Those feelings of loneliness started at 3, and they carried through her whole life, and she was now in her 50s.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
That's how wonderful this work is.
Mm.
To be able to watch somebody do that, and the woman I was with, I said, look at her face. Look how calm she is now.
Mm.
The face changes when you do this. And there's happiness there.
You're doing an incredible job there, Beverly. That's an amazing story. All right, Jan Ruhr Foundation, because obviously I haven't got all morning, janruhrfoundation.org. If you want to contact Beverly,
go to the contact form and send a contact to us.
There you go. Done and dusted. Thank you so much for having a chat this morning for Mental Health Week, Beverly. Really appreciate it. Beverly's an independent researcher and mental health consultant, so janruhrfoundation.org. Have a great day, Beverly. Good on you, mate.
Thank you.